Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown."
Thank you, Vicky, for bringing that passage to life for us so well. Can I add my welcome to Gordon's? I'm Steve, I'm the vicar here. It's great to welcome you this afternoon. The next 20 minutes or so in today's meeting generally is of eternal importance. What happens in the next 20 minutes will have an impact for each one of us forever. Well, Steve, that's a big claim. Yes, it is, but look at verse 12 in the reading. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Jesus says that as people hear the word of God, they respond in one of two ways. Some people are drawn in. They want to know more, and to them, more is revealed. Others are turned off for one reason or another. They don't like what they hear, and they withdraw. The understanding they have is taken away. So as we begin, we need to recognize the eternal weight of this time together. And we need to pray, each of us needs to pray, that we'll be those who are drawn in, who listen, who want to understand more, and so are given understanding. As Jesus says in verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. So let's pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us ears to hear this afternoon. Help us to understand and help us to obey, we pray. Amen. We're looking at the parable of the sower. It'd be helpful to have the Bibles, and there'll be some stuff on the screen as well. It's a familiar parable, but as I've looked at it in the context of going on mission in Matthew's Gospel, it's had some encouraging and challenging things to teach me, and I'm sure it'll be the same for each of us. We're going to look at the purpose of parables, and then as we look at the sower, there are two vital lessons for us. So first, the purpose of parables. Parables are stories that Jesus told, stories grounded in real life with a spiritual meaning. And if I asked, why does Jesus tell parables? I'm sure some of us would think, well, it's to make things easy to understand, isn't it? Jesus is helping us by talking about things we really experience. And there's some truth in that. The image of seed falling on soil or treasure in a field does to some extent draw people in. But actually, Jesus says here, he tells parables for exactly the opposite reason. He tells parables not to make things easier to understand, but harder. So verse 10, the disciples ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus replies, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The meaning of the parable is hidden, he says, it's secret. And he goes on, verse 13, this is why I speak in parables, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you'll be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. He says he's speaking in parables so people don't understand. Now why would he do that? It's not exactly the number one rule of marketing, is it? Make your message as unclear as possible. Although KFC might have succeeded with that this week. We've got chicken in our name, but we don't have any chicken. But it's okay, you can have chips. Why would he do that? Well, over the last couple of chapters in Matthew, we've encountered rising opposition, even hostility to Jesus. The Pharisees are plotting to kill him because of what he says and does. He's accused of being demon-possessed. And because he's facing opposition and rejection, he begins to put a veil over the message to hide a kernel of truth within a shell of story. He's speaking to large crowds. We see that in verse 2. It's not just the disciples listening to him. And though when he's with the disciples, he'll reveal the kernel, for now, it's the shell. So according to Matthew, the purpose of parables is to make it harder for some to understand. Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6, where God says to his stubborn people, I've taken away your ability to understand. I won't let you understand. God closes the ears of some. He takes away their understanding. He stops them from seeing and hearing. And it's a dynamic thing. It's a feedback process. They reject, God hardens. They reject, God hardens. Verse 12 again. Whoever does not have, second half of verse 12, even what they have will be taken from them. But while some hear the parables and don't get it and lose interest, others hear and are intrigued. They want to know more, to understand more. They don't get it, but they want to. So they make a decision to come to Jesus. They join the group of disciples who come privately and say, Lord, what's that all about? They trust Jesus that as they come to him humbly, he'll help them understand. Verse 12 again, whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. So the purpose of parables, they make it harder to understand and they divide people. So let's come on to the parable of the sower in particular. It'll be familiar to many of us, I'm sure. You may have heard lots of sermons about it over the years. But as I say, I've got great treasures from it this time, so hopefully I can share some of those. Verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. It couldn't take root, the ground was too hard, and it was before the days of bird scarers, so the birds just came and gobbled it. Verse 5. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. We have areas of our garden that seem to be a bit like this. We have a couple of hydrangeas that never seem to like the places where they're put. Obviously, that's the fault of the hydrangeas rather than the fault of me. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. It fell among thorns. They took root. They looked as though they were growing well, but then the thorns got them. In our garden, it's not thorns, it's bindweed. Put up your hand if you hate bindweed. Yes, I love. I have a ministry in killing bindweed. It's the only thing I can do in our garden, but I love it. Verse 8. Other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. The soil is good, the seed is powerful, there's great growth. So that's the parable, a story that invites us to want to know more. What's the seed? Who's the farmer? What do the different types of soil represent? And if we're intrigued by Jesus, if we want to know more, then we'll go with the disciples to gather with him and find out. But if we're not really interested, well, we'll switch off. But Jesus wants to encourage us to listen. Verse 9 again, whoever has ears, let them hear. Our responsibility is to respond well. And that's our first main point from the parable, our responsibility to respond well. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So let's go with the disciples to hear more. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. Okay, so the seed is the message about the kingdom. And if the kingdom, then the king, King Jesus. It's the message about Jesus and his kingdom contained in the Bible. And the soil is four different types of people, four different responses to the message. And only one of them turns out to be positive, which means three of them ultimately a negative. Well, what are the responses? First, there's a hearing but not understanding. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. So the seed falling on the path is the person who hears the message and it just goes over their head. They don't get it and they're not really interested in getting it. Maybe you've had an opportunity to speak to a colleague at work, and all they can say is, that's nice for you, and then they move on. And Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Our responsibility to respond well. Second, verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the person who hears that Jesus is king and he's died for their sins and he brings a new life and they're overjoyed. Maybe you've come across someone like this. They seemed really interested. They came to church. They seemed to respond to the message. But Quickly after that, they discover that being a Christian isn't so easy after all. Maybe they get teased at work, or they discover they have to put to death some pet sin, and they quickly fall away. And Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Then there's the person choked by worldly cares, verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the person who responds to the message, who seems to become a Christian. They get involved at church, they join a life group, they have an area of ministry. They might be going strong as a Christian for years, but then gradually other things begin to get in the way of their spiritual health. Maybe things get busy at work and their commitment to the church family suffers. Maybe they have their heart set on something else, a new house, a relationship, family, and slowly that begins to take over. You see them less at church and life group until at last you don't see them at all, or just at Christmas. As a pastor, this is the most heartbreaking of all the responses, because they seem to be doing so well. But over the last 6.5 years, I've come across this kind of person more than once, and I fully expect that there will be others in the next 6.5 years, and I need to be careful I'm not one of them. Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And then finally, there's the productive response, verse 23. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This person hears the word, they understand it, which includes obeying what it says. Understanding always leads to obeying. And as they do that, so they are productive. They love Jesus more and more. They become more like him. They bear fruit in all manner of ways, at work, at home, in the community, and at church. And again, I've seen this response a number of times over the years, and it's wonderful. So as we look at those responses, the main things that prevent the word bearing fruit are unbelief, persecution and trouble, and idolatry, putting other things before Christ. And as the disciples are listening, inevitably they're asking, well, which will I be? And in one sense, it's the right question to ask. All of us will turn out to be one of those four. But at the same time, it's an unhelpful question, because if we're insecure, if we're the bruised reed that we thought about a couple of weeks ago, we can start looking for signs in ourselves and get worried. You know, like the hypochondriac who looks on the internet for signs of a disease and decides that they've got all of them. Well, actually, as we've seen, the message of the whole passage is we each have a responsibility to respond well. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And it may be that there are someone here this afternoon who's aware that as we hear this, that we haven't responded well to God's word in the past. Maybe we've realized that we do switch off when the sermon starts, or when we hear something we don't like. Maybe we're aware we've been holding Jesus at arm's length, accepting what fits with what we already believed, but rejecting everything else. Well, I hope we can see from today's passage that's a dangerous place to be. Our eternity may be at stake. And I hope you can see Jesus is speaking to you personally today. Whoever has ears, let them hear. You have a choice today. Will you respond well? Will you confess the way you've rejected God's word in the past and ask him to help you understand and obey? And maybe there are others who are trying to understand but who are struggling. Maybe Jesus teaches something that we disagree with or we don't get, but we're doing our best to understand. And Jesus commends us for that. And he says, if you keep seeking, you will find in the end. A few weeks ago, my life group were looking at one of the difficult passages from Matthew. And at the beginning of the meeting, several people said they didn't really like what was read out and they were really struggling with it. And we talked about it. And by the end of the time, they could see what Jesus was saying and they accepted it. So keep trying to understand, even if you don't get it all. And why not join a life group if you're not in one? They're a great chance to ask the questions we have about faith and to find out more, to understand more. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So the first main point from the parable, we have a responsibility to respond well. Secondly, what to expect as we share the good news. What to expect as we share the good news. Jesus is teaching his disciples what it's going to look like as they go on mission, teaching them and therefore us what to expect. We've said at the Annaby churches we want to go on mission, to be involved in resourcing mission in West Hull, in making disciples who might make disciples. And Jesus says this is what to expect. Expect these four responses. Jesus and his disciples experienced them. Billy Graham experienced them. I'm sure you've heard this week about Billy Graham, who went to be with the Lord this week, the great evangelist. I read that during his life he preached to more than 210 million people live. It's quite impressive. You can watch some of his addresses on YouTube. They're well worth watching. And you can bet all 210 million people did not turn out to be good soil. He would have had those four responses. And we will experience them. Maybe you've experienced them already. Just think about a time when you've come across one of those different responses. Maybe you got discouraged. Someone once asked me, how do you cope with the different responses? And I didn't really answer the question very well. But what I should have said is, the parable of the sower tells us to expect it. And we need to expect it, because if the negative responses surprise us, we'll either give up or we'll change the message or the method. But Jesus says there's nothing wrong with the message. The good news of Jesus in the Bible, that message is powerful. And there's nothing wrong with the method, sowing the seed, proclaiming the good news. We've been looking at the Vine Project in the ministry team, as you know, and thinking about how to make disciples. And you might remember the phrase from a few weeks ago, the persevering proclamation of the Word of God by the people of God in prayerful dependence on the Spirit of God. That is our task. And there will be negative responses, but there will also be productive responses. And actually, it's only as we do that that there will be productive responses. So what does this mean for us practically as we go to work or to our unbelieving family and friends? Well, first we need to pray. It's God's work. God helps people understand, so we need to pray. Pray for him to open hearts. Pray for opportunities to speak. A year or two, we encouraged each other to pray for three people regularly. I don't know whether you're still doing that, but let's keep doing that, praying for three people by name regularly. Second, why not think about how we can intrigue people? Say something that draws them in. Maybe this is something life groups could spend some time thinking about. How can we ask questions or say things that get people thinking? Invite people to find out more, as Jesus does here. And third, as we have opportunity to speak of our faith, it's always good to try and get people to a verse in the Bible, to share with them a verse from the Bible, to give them an opportunity to hear God's word, the powerful seed, and see what God does. And remember, if we've sown the seed, if we've spoken the message, we've done our job. The rest is God's work. So the parable of the sower. We have a responsibility to respond well. What to expect as we share the good news. There's a couple of questions to think about. And have we got a minute to just reflect on those, Gordon? Great. Why not just pick one of those questions and just think about it for a moment.